Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I've just noticed that on the little recording device that we're using, I've named you as, you've got to put a little name in for each person who's on whatever mic, and I've named you as Chris B., which kind of reminds me of Cardi B, or possibly just the idea of you being a bit crispy. Little crispy Chris. Very enjoyable.
Oh, good God. I've got that Cardi B song, WAP. Do you know this Cardi B song that's like viral at the moment? I'm not going to describe what the acronym is, but I've been driving on this journey across Japan road trip.
You've only said an offensive word, Chris, inadvertently.
What have I said?
You said WAP. That's an offensive word.
Is it?
Yeah, because you're thinking of the old WAP, the WAP. I don't know. Is it WAP? It'd be WAP, wouldn't
WAP.
It? Wouldn't it be WAP?
Internet.
Yeah. Isn't the song WAP?
I don't know. It's WAP. It's an acronym for something truly disgraceful and distasteful. But
all right, Ben Shapiro never made a go. Whatever.
I've been in this car doing Journey Across Japan the last 3 or 4 days, and my companion Joey, the anime man, he's been singing the song. He loves it. So I've got it stuck in my head, and so I get the Cardi B reference is all too in my face. But anyway, God, what a crazy few days it's been. Journey Across Japan. Shooting it the first time in 2 years. We're back on the road doing something fun. It's been quite bumpy, literally.
Yeah, I bet it has. How's it been? How's the change been from? I imagine it's a little bit easier to do it in a car rather than on a bike.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was nice getting rid of the bike. So for those of you that don't know, Journey Across Japan, Escape to Fuji, this new season, it's only 6 episodes long, but it covers a 1,500-kilometer stretch, starting in Tokyo, going through Gunma, Nagano, Toyama, Gifu, Shizuoka, and it was just a big circle all the way around to Mount Fuji. And the last 3 days, we've been on the road, myself, Joey the Anime Man, with his singing of Cardi B, and Natsuki as well. He's joined for the first 2 days of the trip. And we've been to some pretty crazy places so far. The first day of the trip, we stumbled across this abandoned love hotel. Natsuki, we're driving down this country road. Natsuki got out for one of his many cigarette breaks, and turned out there was a building next to him that was just like, we wondered what it was. We thought it was like an abandoned town hall or something. But as we went in, we found it was like just a forgotten love hotel. And it was really unpleasant. I think I sent you a photo, Pete, so you could see what it was like.
Chris, I am furious because the last time I was in Japan, I obviously went to an abandoned building with you and I had a great time. I mean, not a great time, but I do like exploring places that are abandoned. What are abandoned? I love caves or things that have just been left to rot.
You love it.
So, yeah, I'm a little bit furious that I didn't get to visit this abandoned love hotel. With you.
I've cheated on you with my abandoned locations that you love.
The dirty old abandoned building. But it looked like is it PT, the Silent Hill little circular
little bit,
kind
yeah.
of hotel thing? Yeah, a little bit like that. It reminded me of Silent Hill a bit.
And what was crazy was it was completely accessible. Like, it wasn't boarded up. It was this giant building. Just the front door was wide open. And so we kind of went in. We didn't break in or anything. And that clearly a lot of people had actually been inside there. There was all sorts of litter from people that had slept in there. The beds were tattered and torn and ripped. There were some really kind of weird drawings of like this naked pregnant woman on the wall. Like somebody just drawn all these weird drawings in every single room. It was crazy. It felt like we were in a theme park, like Fuji Q, right? The theme park by Mount Fuji. They've got like a gigantic abandoned building. And it felt like this felt a little bit like that, but much more scary because it was real. but having Natsuki there lightened the load a little bit. We came across some bats. We came across some mice. We came across broken like doors. There was a door that kept banging down the corridor, right, which was really creeping us out. Like it was really unpleasant, really quite like horrible.
Joey the anime man's very expressive with the way he talks. I imagine he was just going absolutely crazy.
He was going crazy. Natsuki was going crazy. I was busy trying to hold the camera, but like there's a bit that I'm going to cut out when this mouse like starts running towards my leg and I sort of went, ah, and this horrible, terrible scream that I've done. Like the worst noise I've ever made, I think. That's not going anywhere near the video.
Why not?
Yeah, that was the first day. Because I don't want that noise going online. I don't want memes of my face with the ah noise that I made when this mouse ran towards me. Not happening,
get
Pete.
It.
Not happening.
Send it over. Let's get it on the podcast. Come on. Let's get it on the podcast. Come on.
It's not going on the soundboard. It's not going on the podcast.
Come on, get it on the soundboard. Give me the soundboard.
The internet never forgets. But that was the first day. The second day we went to this place called Furei Sekibutsu no Sato, which is like this field in Toyama in a forest where basically a millionaire, I think, in the 1980s, this really rich guy, probably had a bit too much money to spend. And for tax reasons, he thought, I should probably spend this money on something. And what he did was he took photos of all of his friends and family and various people in the town, and he produced 800 lifelike statues, frighteningly lifelike statues. He sent these photos, took all these photos, sent them to China. All the statues were made in China and they came shipped over in crates, and then he stuck them in this field and they're just there now in disrepair, these really eerie lifelike statues. And we went there at night because we got there a little bit late, and we wandered around these statues at night, and that in many ways I found that creepier than the hotel. I've got a thing with statues. Statues make me feel uncomfortable, and these lifelike statues that had kind of been chipped and degraded over the last 20 years were really quite frightening. Torch in hand. It was very Silent Hill. And that was the second
day. What were they
made
of? Were they like painted and stuff?
Well, they're made of like rocks. They're like brick or rock. These really must have cost millions. Like somebody said, I think it cost like $20 million or something.
Jesus.
I don't know. I daren't speculate, but clearly it wasn't cheap. And the scale of it is impressive. It's like an army. I've seen the Terracotta Warriors in China, and it was a bit like that, but a lot cheaper and not as impressive. But there's 800 in a field.
Is there a list of the people who were actually there? Could you go and find the surviving members of the statues and pair them up with their statues?
Well, apparently I think you can.
As a project.
Like, that could be the next one. But like, yeah, you can absolutely go and find these people. I guess it's about 20 years, 30 years old, some of these statues, so it might be a bit tricky, but they are real people. Judging by, like, looking at the statues, you could definitely work out who it was if you met them in person, because they are so accurately done. Yeah, yeah.
20 years ago. Quite creepy.
But the more recent thing we did, on the same day, we had to do a challenge to eat this kind of disgusting local food. And on the day, we were passing through Nagano Prefecture. And Nagano, which is in the heart of the Japanese Alps, the dish that's famous there is like insects. Anything with insects in is like, they like it. I don't know why. But the thing we tried to look for was these wasp crackers, which we talked about on this podcast. That was where I got the idea.
Right.
Like, when we read out this challenge, find a unpleasant local food, I thought, yes, time to go and find these wasp crackers that Pete and I discussed a few months ago. But we went to the place where they sell them. The woman was like, we don't sell those anymore. That was like 5 years ago. They're so last year. So no wasp crackers. But what we did find was something which I believe was far worse, and that was a jar of bee larvae. I don't know how you pronounce it. I still haven't worked it out. Bee larvae, like the children of bees, baby bees, in this like just jar
Cardi
filled
bees.
With just Yes, Cardi B's. If Cardi B ever wants her own brand of bee larvae, then done. Cardi
They've
B's
got
bees.
Enough of them,
but
yeah.
They were horrible. And Natsuki was very daring.
It didn't taste really nice. It didn't taste like anything in any way delicious.
I just tasted like gone-off soy sauce with something crunchy in it. And it was horrible.
Right,
Natsuki,
okay.
Natsuki took it a step further. So we ate this stuff and I was nearly sick and Joe was nearly sick. But Natsuki got some bread, put some horrible wasabi cream cheese on that we also found in the same store, and then added the bee larvae and then ate it. And then he was sick and going to have to edit that in a tasteful manner because it's just unpleasant. So that was the first 3 days of the trip. Yeah.
Wow. That's no way to start.
I wish you were there.
I mean, yeah, really. You know what I've done this morning? I thought a little while ago, I thought, I wonder if I've had COVID. I wonder if, so I bought like a load of, I bought two, what do they call them? Like
test
like
kits.
test kits, but kits that you've, where you find out whether you've got the, you've had it before, basically, the antibody test. Got them a little while ago. I thought I'll get around to doing that at some point. And you have to fill this little vial full of blood. Could I get any blood out of me? I am stone, Chris Broad. I could not. I've spent this morning cutting myself effectively to get the blood out.
Oh, good God.
And now I've just got a painful finger, and I couldn't fill up the vial. My blood is so viscous, it just wouldn't come out.
Ooh.
It's horrible. Isn't it horrible?
I don't. How did you even get the blood? You did your finger, right? You put a pin.
Well,
in your finger
they've got these little lancer things that you press your finger into, and it sort of tears the skin a little bit, and it's supposed to allow you to fill it up, but it just didn't work. I tried doing it straight after the shower, so my blood was nice and thin. Jeez, I'll have to do it on a hangover. That's your blood thins after you got a hangover, apparently. But yeah, that's why you should never get a tattoo on a hangover. But I've just been doing that this morning, and I felt a little bit woozy.
Wow.
So maybe when you mentioned Natsuki feeling a little bit unwell after his bee larvae, I thought, that's kind of like my morning, really.
To be honest, I think I would rather try and get blood out of my finger than eat bee larvae again. I realise I can't pronounce larvae. How do you say it?
Larvae. God knows, honestly.
The entire video, I've had to like do every scene twice with both pronunciation.
Absolutely.
I couldn't work it.
No.
I should have just Googled it, but that's how stupid I am.
Maniac.
What an idiot. Anyway.
Thing is, it doesn't matter what you are doing. It doesn't matter what you say. Don't worry about pronunciation because somebody will have a problem with something that you say. That's it. It's just the way
true.
It is. It's YouTube, for crying out loud.
And I have a nasty habit of making mistakes. Like I've single-handedly mispronounced every. I don't even know if I just mispronounced the word mispronounced. Is it mispronounced or mispronounced? Don't know.
It's definitely mispronounced.
When you enter the realms of self-doubt, things start to get very dark indeed. And I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know who I am. What am I? God knows.
So you're in an abandoned room, in an abandoned building.
What I do know. Is we've got a story from Joe in Lincoln in the UK. Every week we like to start these podcasts with a story one of you guys have sent in. And we've got Joe and he says, hi, Chris and Pete, your recent podcast discussing entertaining your kids on holiday reminded me of 2019. My wife and I and our then 6-year-old son and two of our close friends embarked upon a trip of a lifetime to the breathtaking country of Japan. Breathtaking in more ways than one, as you'll read below. Oh yeah, that's a point. A few weeks ago we talked about coming to Japan with kids. Obviously, Pete and I don't have kids. We don't have much experience in this field. And so we did encourage you guys to send in your stories. And this is one of the first ones we've got. Joe continues, one of our first evenings in Tokyo around tea time, we happened upon a weird and wonderful establishment called Kawaii Monster Cafe, Cute Monster Cafe, a place unlike any other I'd seen before. It seemed we'd struck up that rare holiday gold, a place where the nipper would be highly entertained by the characters, the music and the activities going on. A place that also served booze to mum, dad and their friends. It was brilliant. Now, at this cafe, they were dancing and singing performances every hour or so. And our little one had an absolutely lovely, giant, fluffy monster standing on a huge pink cake singing a song in Japanese and was eagerly awaiting the next performance. I decided I'd take the boy down to the front row for the next song so he could really enjoy the experience. up close and personal. What could go wrong, you ask? Well, to my wife's horror, the next performance to the stage happened to be three incredibly scantily clad young women dancing in a manner probably best described as post-watershed. And there were, and there we were with our six-year-old front row, his eyes wider than on any other Christmas morning. I grabbed him and made a quick exit, arriving back to our table to open mouths and stunned silence. An unforgettable experience, I'm sure you all agree. But we try not to think about how he may have described it to his pals at the next show and tell, but hopefully enjoyed it. All the best, Joe from Lincoln in the UK, with his wonderful story of the Kauai Monster Cafe, which I remember watching a video. I think a YouTube channel, Simon and Martina, I think they went there. I remember watching a video on this place, and it's like trippy as hell. It's like maid cafe extreme, right? I didn't know there were scantily clad women. Is that a good reason to go now? Probably.
But I looked at the Google reviews, and it's very much like a tourist trap, isn't it? It's like the robot cafe, but a bit shitter, you'd probably say, in the middle of Harajuku. Jeremias Morales on Google, complete tourist trap for the Kauai style. He says, I would have rated higher, but I asked one of the servers to help me out. It was my girlfriend today. He meant it's my girlfriend's birthday today. I love jet lag reviews from angry tourists. I asked the server if I could get me some kind of treat for her. He said yes, he'd get her some cake and write happy birthday on the plate. 30 minutes pass and he brings the bill and no cake. Great way to ruin my Japan birthday plan. I'm thinking, Jeremiah, I mean, that's not on the menu, mate, so that's an added extra that you didn't get, so you can't really mark them down for that, so he's only given them one mark. Callum Blakeman, please do not waste your money here, buy some Wagyu beef somewhere else for less. When you see the bill, it will make you feel sick. Why are you ordering Wagyu beef in a monster cafe, for crying out loud? And finally, for now, Nicholas Barraza says, we went here because we heard it was the must-do in Tokyo. The food was pretty good. The entertainment was terrible. I've never been more embarrassed for other people. Oh, it was ridiculous. It's a children's place, and there were times that I almost felt like the dancing was going the wrong way. I would not recommend this place to anyone. I did, though, like the light-up lollipops that the kids got. Oh, those weren't light-up lollipops, Nicholas. Uh-oh.
Oh,
God. Oh, no.
Oh, man. It kind of sounds really awkwardly not family friendly, a bit like this podcast, to be fair. But you mentioned the good old robot restaurant. Apparently that's closed down. I read that it's closed because obviously everyone that goes there is a tourist.
No tourists,
and there's no tourists. Yeah, I walked past it a couple of weeks back. It was just all dark, all closed down. And usually it's lit up like Christmas. It's so bright and loud and noisy on the road in front of it. But yeah, it's very quiet, and it was shut. And I think it's just been shut indefinitely. Whether or not it will survive around until next year remains to be seen. And actually, that is the topic of the week, guys. The news story of the week is Japan is looking to reopen to international tourists early next year, around April. Now, obviously, the country's been closed since, I think, the first day of April this year. Unimaginable when it happened, because obviously the Olympics was coming up at the time, and it was all so shocking. I remember I made a video, didn't I, in February, a very stupid video where I proclaimed, don't worry, the pandemic will go away, I'm sure. And it didn't. It got a lot worse. But in that video, I sort of said, there's no way they'll cancel the Olympics. That would be unthinkable. And they did it. And it's all been downhill since. But good news is, it looks like they're trying to open up around April next year. I've had so many of you guys messaging me, asking me when. And it's been really difficult to give an answer. Nobody's really been able to say anything. The problem was, if they opened in October, then there's a resurgence, then I'd have to shut the country all over again, right? So it looks like they're getting all the measures in place for January. They're getting all the safety measures in place, and they're going to hopefully open the doors in April. What do you think about that, Pete? Oh, that's a shame. We were going to have you over here at least twice, I think, this year.
I know.
And now we've got no Donaldson.
Seems like that's a very, very long time. And I do sort of think, I mean, I was planning on sort of looking to that kind of time because it's my birthday, my 40th at that, actually, in April. And
40?
And then you just, 40.
You're 40 in April? I didn't know. I thought you were 37 or 8 or something.
No, I'm 39.
Oh God, I think I whenever I meet someone, I just think that's the age they are forever. So when
I think
you were 37 or 6, and now you've just been that age the whole time I know you.
49.
It is true. I'm a 20. Very weird person. It's true. We're complete opposites there. Yeah. But that's a shame.
That's a shame. Well, but you know for a fact that in April it's just going to be a shit show, an endless shit show where everything falls over and it's very confusing. Mm. Or it might work really, really well, as the Japanese sometimes do.
Well, I mean, they're trying to set up things like a fever center. A fever center. That sounds a lot cooler than it should be. The idea being that if foreign tourists do contract it, rather than having to go to a Japanese hospital and flooding a hospital and whatnot, then they'll have like a special facility, like a kind of private hospital or clinic somewhere where they can go. And they've got lots of apps in the pipeline as well. I think the idea being you land at Narita or Haneda and download an app, and you use that to kind of, if you have any problems, you use the app or whatever. So they're trying to put all these different things in place, lots of different stages. The idea being that every stage of your trip to Japan, there's something there to make sure that if anything goes wrong, there's a safety net. And Japan is well placed to tackle that. And they've certainly got a pretty big incentive, given they do want the Olympics next year. Like, they do want it. Regardless of what it looks like, they want something. So Japan is going to, you know, put out all the stops. It's going to go the extra mile to make this work, I think, to get those tourists in. Who knows? You might be having your 40th birthday at the Kawaii Monster Cafe yet. Don't you worry, Pete.
It's a date.
Lollipops and scantily clad women. What more could you possibly want? Probably robot restaurant. But of course, though, we'll keep you guys updated on what's going on. As soon as we know anything else, you'll be the first to know. And of course, more recently, the Japanese government did recently lift the ban on non-citizen foreign residents from October, meaning that people like myself can travel around a bit easier now. Like earlier, up until I think last month, I couldn't even leave Japan and then return. So I could leave Japan, but I couldn't come back. Meaning that leaving the country was very difficult. And, you know, my dad had some heart problems, and I was, at one point, it was looking like I was going to have to go back for that. And that was very daunting, you know. But he seems to be all right now. But yeah, not a lot of fun. But hopefully, light at the end of the tunnel, I think.
Indeed. It's a worrying time for people, not knowing where they can go. And, you know, it's not the actions of a grown-up, you know, first-world economy, I would say.
Yeah, it was very poorly handled, I must admit. But, yeah, fingers crossed, though, guys. We'll let you know. And if you can't come to Japan for your 40th birthday, Pete, where else would you go? Anywhere else lined up?
Nothing planned. Probably just find a sun lounger somewhere. Sit there for a week.
Get down to the British seaside.
Yeah, damn right. Get down to Whitstable.
Nice. I'll have to get you some sort of birthday present, though. I'll have to get you the fish and chip Pringles you so sorely deserve.
Yes, a lot of people getting involved with the. It was a Big Steve. I called the tower for Big Ben. A lot of people going, Pete, you know what you've done? I went, yeah.
dear. Mischievous man.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
All right, we turn our attention now to the fax machine. What do we got from everyone this week, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Cliff. Hello, Cliff. Hi, guys. My name is Cliff. That's how he knew he was Cliff. And I am from California. I'm a big fan of the podcast and the YouTube channel, and I'll be rewatching your Journey Across Japan videos. It's been a real treat going along on your journey once again. What is the one thing you missed from this epic adventure? Keep up the great work, and thank you for continuing to podcast and continuing to YouTube and providing such awesome entertainment. What is the one thing you missed from the epic adventure, Chris? Did you manage to plug any holes when you're on Journey Across Japan too?
Well, I think the one thing we missed was getting Mount Fuji, right? Although the kind of the journey and the original one went round the back of Japan, didn't it? Like, you met us in the outskirts of Kyoto somewhere. Yeah. So we kind of missed Fuji. And I feel like if you're going to do a big countrywide journey, you kind of need Japan's most iconic landmark, like Japan's most iconic site, full stop. So hopefully we can get it. We're currently halfway through Journey Across Japan right now. And even if we do see it next week, I won't reveal it until the series. What I will say is there's been a typhoon this week. So that doesn't bode particularly well. We had a typhoon, I think Typhoon Chan Hom. It's always difficult remembering the names of these typhoons. It's not like Typhoon Dave. It's always got a very elaborate, swanky name. But hopefully the typhoon will disappear. And often when typhoons come, when they leave the area, they kind of wash away all the clouds and you get a nice blue sky. So fingers crossed that that's what we missed, Mount Fuji. And hopefully we can get it this time around. Fingers crossed, indeed. We've got one here from Tim in Hexham, UK. I don't know where Hexham is. You know where Hexham is, Pete?
In the northeast, mate.
Wow. Your knowledge of the UK continues to astound me and impress me. Hi, Chris.
I think it is. Yeah.
Many thanks for the fun and informative podcast. It's great to hear about Japan, even when we can't travel there. I especially enjoy reminiscing when you mention places I visited previously. I've been listening to the podcast for a few months now, and several topics brought up by emails from listeners such as cults, lack of a proper breakfast, etc., have resonated with me, but none as much as a recent email regarding traveling Japan with small children. I can safely say that it's actually quite easy getting around with a little one. Our son Barnaby was 16 months old when my wife and I took him on our honeymoon to Japan in the autumn of 2018. In just under 3 weeks, we stayed at Tokyo, the hotel with Godzilla, a lovely ryokan with onsen in Hakone, and Tokyo again, this time in a hostel in Oji, that hosted live music, which was great for me as I got to play with the band as well, ever so briefly. We also stayed at an Airbnb in Kyoto and finally Osaka. We loved every second of it and managed to get around just fine. A sling is recommended, but we also had a lightweight buggy. And although not many people in Japan seem to use them, you shouldn't have any difficulty in getting them up escalators or onto metros, etc. In terms of things to do with a kid, it's often a mistake second guessing what such a small child will enjoy. I'd save your money and avoid Disneyland. Yes, avoid Disneyland, as most of it will go over their heads. There's a lot of interesting things to see and do for free, such as the many parks, including the Deer Park at Nara and the Monkey Park in Kyoto, Pete's favourite. But everywhere you look, you will appear everywhere you look will appear slightly different to what your Ben is used to seeing. Ben, what's that, Pete? Ben.
Baby, Ben, B-A-I-I. Child. Yeah,
I've
Ben.
I've never heard
Ben.
That word. How do I not know that
it's
word?
It's a little baby. This was, again, northeast, isn't it? I think they were expecting me to read this one, maybe.
Yeah. Complicated words, Ben. I can't believe I didn't know that. All right, carrying on.
Yeah.
We went to temples and Tory gates. We saw weird mascots and anthropomorphic tampons. That came out of nowhere. Anthropomorphic tampons. He doesn't even elaborate what that is. I don't know where, how. Anyway, just enjoy your holiday with them in tow. Frankly, anywhere we could see a train meant he was happy. We found that Japanese people really love coming to talk to our little kid as well, including some young Jehovah's Witnesses who happen to have English language versions of their children's propaganda videos readily available on their smartphones. My one piece of advice would be, if you're taking a buggy, hold on to it just before you board the aeroplane. I hope this helps any listeners nervous about taking small children to the wonderful country, Tim in Hexham. Thank you, Tim. I must say that's quite impressive. Taking a 16-month-year-old child around Japan, it's a pretty daunting thing. I think most people would have just left the kid behind, right, for something like that. But you never know. They might remember it, bits and pieces. I just want to know what the anthropomorphic tampons were. That's not something I was expecting to pop up midway through the story. Any thoughts, Pete?
I just enjoy the fact that the Ben in this case loved a train. As long as the child could see a train, meant he was happy. It's just a lovely sentence. When you're a kid, you just love trains, don't you? I love trains. I'm not even a big fan of them now, but like when I was a kid, I was like trains. I used to go to the train museum down in sort of York Scarborough way. Loved it.
He loves trains. Very good.
Yes.
Todd. What's Todd say, Pete?
Sorry, just muting my mic while I was doing a bit of a cough. Todd F. in California, Ohio. Chris and Pete, listening to the pod, and I've heard you suggest your listener leave the one-year-old at home and travel without. Monstrous. Nope. At least I hope not, because my brother, friend, and I did exactly that. We went on a great 10-day guided tour of Japan's greatest hits, aka Tokyo, Osaka, and Kyoto. It was the best, especially not being weighed down by a couple of three-year-olds, which we left at home with Grandma. We vowed to go back and climb Fujisan, so I await your next journey across Japan eagerly. Keep up the good work, guys. Todd F. in California. Well, look, it's all about making decisions, isn't it? Leaving the bairns at home.
I love the way that's like the complete opposite to the last story. The last story from Tim was like, we took our kid everywhere, literally every corner of Japan. And then Todd's like, yeah, we left them with the grandparents. We just didn't take them. It's like two different sides.
We put them in a creche. I saw the word creche in my mind and just said creche. I left them in a creche in Shibuya and then just went off.
I mean, personally, I just couldn't imagine it. It would be tough, but I think if you've got a kid who's like six, maybe they'll remember. Yeah. I don't remember anything I did before I was like 10. I think maybe I don't remember anything apart from going to Disneyland in Florida when I was 9 and Goofy or whatever that Pluto the dog, I think, stole my popcorn. I had this big box of popcorn that I loved as I was eating and walking around the park, and then Pluto came over. I thought he was going to do like a photo or something. He just took my popcorn and just ran off with it. And that was my first memory, I think. Getting robbed in Florida. What a fucking great memory. Keep the stories, Florida, questions, man, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time in 2 or 3 days to do it all over again. But for now, guys, have yourself a great week. Wish me luck on the last leg of Journey Across Japan, and I'll be talking more about the journey in the coming days. Have a good one.
Good luck, Chris.
Me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.